I'm using my portion of the payout to get Botox.
I'm using my portion of the payout to buy a Porsche.
I'm using my second portion of the payoff to get a BBL.
No.
Just kidding, I don't need that. I just Googled BBL just to make sure, and one of the pictures that comes up is baffling to me. It shows a patient's bare ass for the before photo, and then for the after photo, it's covered in like a bikini bottom. Wouldn't that be the one you want the bare ass on?
Yeah.
I'm confused. I wish I could show you this ass. The crack is so pronounced.
1, 2, 3, 4, go!
Falling in love is such an easy thing to do. Girls can do it,
yeah.
Bees can do it.
Yeah.
Let's stop talking,
yeah.
Let's get to it. Let's fall in love.
Okay, I need you to match my energy right now.
Okay.
Welcome back to the podcast, fuckers!
Hey everyone.
Okay, I said match my energy.
Sorry. Hey everyone.
Thank you. That's all I ask.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
We started out friends. It was cool, but it was all pretend.
Hey everyone.
Me and Aaron both need to get married within the next couple months while we still can. And our weddings aren't going to be cheap.
I'm eloping.
I'm not.
No, legal fees and shit are really expensive.
Yeah.
But trying to, secure that, Do you
Well,
know that
that.
Pennsylvania doesn't recognize civil unions or domestic partnerships?
Really?
Yeah.
That's really sick.
Yeah. So, like, literally looking into getting married, which is also like if that becomes up to the states, Pennsylvania is a wild card.
Wild card. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Anyway, fun.
Yeah, this is the first podcast we've recorded since, you
Roe v.
know,
Wade has been
the Supreme Court
overturned.
did a thing. Okay.
I did go to DC on Saturday to protest, and I do want to say that cops are bad.
That's a really complete 180 from what you've been saying to me privately, like not on the podcast, but like what you in our personal conversations where you kind of extol their virtues.
No, so went to protest. So I was going to DC anyway, but then me and my friend who were going, we like changed our plans to see if there was like any like organizing going on and then, join it. And there was a protest, and so we did go. And then my friend got heat exhaustion because it was fucking hot as balls and they were not hydrated enough. And literally, they're like deteriorating on the sidewalk. Like, dry heat. Like, it was just like not good, right? Like,
Yeah.
just Google like symptoms of heat exhaustion, and that was like what was happening. And there's literally like just like a line of cops like right behind us, separated by a fence, and they're like not doing anything. We like finally were like, we need a medic because like I had like ice packs and stuff in my bag that I was like putting on them, but it wasn't enough. So we needed like EMT services.
Yeah.
And then when like the EMT got there, the cops were like, "Oh, hey, like do you need water?" Not even to us, but to the EMT, like for this situation. And I was like, "You watched this happen and you didn't offer us anything, and now that there's an EMT here, you're like offering the EMT who has a gun for some reason."
That's actually really hot, I hate to say. That's actually the name of my new feature that I'm writing, EMT with a gun.
For some reason.
For some reason. That's the subtitle. Yeah. EMT with a gun, colon, for some reason.
Yeah. Then, like, they're all joking with each other, and they're like, well, if this goes south, you have to testify in court this time.
Oh, God.
Talking about the fucking insurrection.
That's really cool.
It was so cool.
It was so cool.
Anyway, yeah, so this is a post Roe v. Wade podcast recording.
Nothing feels good. Yeah, it feels weird to be having fun or talking, but it's cool.
Yeah. So, I'm, like, kind of glad I'm not working full-time right now because it does give me the opportunity to, like, really reflect on everything and, like, not have to, like, go back to everything. But then, like, I'm also really upset I'm not working because I am just, like, alone with my thoughts.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you, working the day after that was wild, or the day of it, even. Trying to, like, just going to work and pretending that nothing was, like, pretending that the world was normal and that this horrible thing hadn't just happened.
Right.
And, like, I don't know. I know, you know, like, I'm not trying to center myself in this moment, but also the implications of this are hard not to think about.
Yeah.
You know, which, like, I think two things can be true. One, like, this is already a horrible attack on, and, like, a huge step backwards for the country. And two, like, it's actually very scary to consider where we go from here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I've just been, like, sitting around, scared, tired, kind of exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah. Now for a word from our sponsor.
Judge Anton Scalia. Help, it's hot down here. That was a word from our sponsor.
I love being alive. I'm not sure about you.
I love you being alive. I love being alive, but only when Adam Driver sings it during Marriage Story. That's a reference to the hit film Marriage Story, if you didn't catch that.
Yeah, I didn't catch that, so thank you for sharing.
Wow.
It's really like, what are our silly little jokes that we do?
What?
Like, how do we joke?
What are you talking about?
Like, with everything that's happening.
I think I just said that 3 minutes ago.
I know, but I'm, like, echoing it.
Oh, you could have, like, echoed it after I said it, so I didn't feel like I'd went on such a limb and you just didn't really support that. You were kind of like, well, suck it up, Buttercup. And, like, now I feel validated, but in that moment I could have felt better.
I feel like I did validate it, but now I'm, like, now
I don't remember that. That's not how I remember it. That's not the journey I went on, personally.
Now I'm internalizing it. Fuck off.
I love you so much.
Okay. Do you want to get into it?
No, honestly.
Yeah, this episode fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Also, why is it entitled Don't Go In There?
Don't Go In There. Was that a message to Ricky, perhaps?
Yeah. Welcome to Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name is Aaron.
My name is, frankly, it's Jesse.
And today we're going to be covering season... Would you believe that I'm not under the influence of any substances? Anyway.
I would believe that. I would believe that if you said it. I believe anything you say.
Today we're going to be covering season 4, episode 6. Don't go in there! Exclamation point.
It's talking about Ricky and Carly's vagina.
Ricky, do they share a vagina?
No, it's telling Ricky not to go in there. They do share it, though. It's really powerful.
Yeah. Yo. Some could say that you and I share my vagina.
No!
Sorry. So,
if we share it, how come my turn's so much shorter?
Did we... Oh, no, we didn't skip an episode. Okay.
Honestly, would we be able to tell?
So, this episode was directed by Anson Williams. It was written by none other than Elena Rada, which God. Makes sense as to why it's absolutely batshit. Next week is written by Jeffrey Rogers, and then the week after is written by Brenda Hampton, so okay, I can't wait. Okay, so
get ready for another whiplash.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how these three voices...
This little dueling pianos they've been doing the last three seasons.
Yeah. So this episode aired to 2.58 million viewers, and it aired on July 18th, 2011. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Oh, great. So my article, very important. I've moved on from the New York Times. I just need more fun in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from the New York Post. Everyone knows the most fun newspaper.
And you know what? They call it news for a reason.
It was posted at 8:27 p.m. by Post staff report, and it says Justin Bieber crashes California wedding playing his song.
I would kick his ass.
Justin Bieber and his girlfriend Selena Gomez crashed a California wedding reception over the weekend when they heard one of Bieber's songs playing. TMZ reported Monday. Bieber and Gomez were on the beach in Malibu, California on Saturday evening when they walked past the wedding reception for Rob and Janine McCool. Bieber's song, One Less Lonely Girl, was playing, so he and Gomez decided to pay the reception a visit. So, were two 14-year-olds getting married?
Yeah, what wedding at that point was playing Bieber? This is a child bride, I hate to say.
And One Less Lonely Girl... Bieber grabbed a microphone and told the guests, "We heard a party, so we decided to just come, so let's party." The celebrity wedding crashers only stayed at the reception for about 10 minutes, but posed for pictures with the guests and the just married couple before leaving.
If anyone ever upstaged my wedding like that, I would go fucking ballistic.
So here's my question, is what war crime did the U.S. commit on that day that they needed some distraction from?
Oh, what'd you say it was? July 18th?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Hey, Linus, if you don't get the fuck down, I'm gonna kill you. Probably airstrikes of some kind.
Probably. It's probably when they were like, oh, look it, we can now fly drones with Xbox controllers.
Oh.
And they're like, isn't this technology awesome?
Can I tell you something? I'm playing a video game right now, and a big part of it, like, a part of it is, like, World War II, and I love it. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying.
What game is it?
It's called 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. I don't know where I was going with that. Cut that whole section. It made no sense. I'm tired.
Yeah, you're fine.
I just wanted to talk about that video game. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I've been, like, reading a lot about World War II. I think it might be becoming a special interest.
Oh my god, you're doing your final, like, you're finally, like, transforming into your final form of, like...
autism.
I was gonna say middle-aged dad, but, like, oh. Sure.
We did the Salem Witch Trials. The thing about the Salem Witch Trials is that there's, like, no... There's, like, no... It ends at a certain point. You know, we've done all we can do with them.
I think they're coming back in a big way.
I hope so.
I give it 2 years. I do feel like we're both on something right now, but I don't think either of us are. I think we'd be more focused if we both, like, chewed some weed right now, you know?
Probably. I can't do anything right now, though.
I can't either.
Drug testing.
No weed in-house.
That's so sad for you.
I mean, drug testing is definitely worse.
That is true, because I do have supplies in-house.
And I have demand.
Okay. What is your biblical context?
Mine comes from Gizmodo.
Fucking hell.
What? It's a reputable news source, okay?
Yes, go for it.
Lulzsec hacks the Times with brutal Murdoch death notice.
What?
Lulzsec hacks the Times with brutal Murdoch death notice.
Can you read a little bit of the...
Lulzsec hacks the Times with brutal Murdoch death notice. No,
can you read some of the story?
Well, seems like Lulzsec has returned and moved beyond the DDoS attack. Not content to merely shut down one of Rupert Murdoch's paper's websites, the hacking group has instead planted a bizarro onion-esque account of the mogul's death by palladium on a Times redesigned page masquerading as the sun. Well played, hashtag anti-sec.
Well played indeed.
So hackers posted a fake death notice for Fox News founder Rupert Murdoch.
Bernie Madoff?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Cool.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Let's begin this episode. This episode was very upsetting.
Some would go so far as to say it's bad.
Right. Also, just, like, content warning for, like, coercion for sex.
And, like, false accusations.
And, like, yeah. Anyway.
This was a really important episode to show that women are liars.
Women actually, yeah, I can't. Okay, I can't,
this episode makes me so physically angry.
So we start in Ben's room. He's asleep on his bed. Leo comes in and yells at him. He's like, get the fuck out. Go apologize to Adrian now. And Ben's like, I wish the last 3 years were a dream and I was waking up on the first day of freshman year.
I often think that about this podcast. Like, I wish the last year and a half was a dream and I was waking up and we were still deciding what show to do.
Right, yeah. And we had just, like, the foresight to be like, what if we did a show with, like, less than 20 episodes total?
That's my new white whale.
Yeah.
There needs to be a good show or a show that lasts half a season.
Yeah. So we move on to Amy's room. She comes in her robe to Ricky sleeping in her bed. And they talk about, I don't know, like a bunch of sexual innuendos. he was hoping they could shower together that morning. And she's like, seems like all this space is having an effect on you, Ricky. How long until you think they're going to be like, Ricky and Amy bought a house as 18-year-olds?
That's the sort of thing people do in this show.
With, like, no generational wealth. They just pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. Actually, by Ricky working at the butcher shop, he was able to save $45,000 for a down payment.
Well, what they don't show you is the butcher shop does pay $37 an hour.
That is incredible.
But only for the teen help. Bunny's making $17.
Okay. $17,000 an hour?
Yes. You know the first rule of improv, Aaron? You always say yes.
I remember when we first started this podcast and I said, you have to yes and me, and you said, no, I don't.
And you know what? I stand by that. That is my right.
Anyway, so we find out Ricky has an interview first, like a school today. And she's like, you have to go home and get your books and stuff. And he's like, no, they're in my car because I thought I was going to study. But I didn't study last night. But I ended up learning something. Wink, wink.
What could he possibly have to learn still?
Do you think he learned where the clitoris is?
Yeah, I was just going to say. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Amy starts just saying me in the middle of sex, and he's like, oh!
Oh, that's it!
So, she says, you're making me blush. And he says, I love you, Amy. And she says, I love you too, Ricky. Kind of cute.
The episode could have ended here, honestly.
You really know when they start, and they're, like, having this much fun together, that this show is about to be, like... Let's fuck everything up. So then we go to the condo. Ben comes in. He calls for Adrian. He sees all the holes in the wall in the nursery. And instead of, like, clearly having, like, some kind of emotional response to the fact that Adrian just did that, he's like, great.
Adrian has obviously started walking and did not stop until Rolling in the Deep had played 13,000 times.
He goes into the bedroom and he starts packing a bag, but I think it's absolutely hilarious the way that these drawers look like two teenagers don't live there, the way that everything is fucking folded.
This whole house looks like it's a middle-aged couple.
Yeah. I will say the show Living Life with Derek.
You mean Life with Derek?
Yes, Life with Derek, sorry.
That's the theme song, though. Living Life with Derek!
So, they did always show the house pretty messy, which I thought, you know, was pretty accurate. And here Ben is packing a bag, and all of his clothes are folded. It's like, he doesn't know how to fold a single shirt. Are you kidding me?
No. He has never folded a shirt in his life.
No. So then we go to the theme.
Do you have an alternative theme?
You can go first.
No, I think you can go first.
Okay. Yeah, I do have an alternative theme, and that would be the song entitled In Hell by Japanese Breakfast.
That's a really fascinating choice. Would you care to expound upon that?
Yes. It is, let me pull up the actual lyric. She says, "Hell is finding someone to love and I can't have it. Hell is finding someone to love and I can't see you again." So that's not really relevant to anything in this episode. No, I think it's relevant to, like, you know, Adrian's whole situation. She is, I would say, taking it to a clinical level, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
but, you know, some definite heartbreak there. Yeah, and then personally, I really identify with being in hell.
Watching this show.
And just in, like, life in general, but yeah.
Yeah. My alternative theme is Stacy's Mom by Fountains of Wayne, but you change Stacy's to Grace's.
Yeah.
Does she have sexual chemistry? Every single one of Grace's boyfriends looks like they want to fuck Kathleen so bad, and she looks like she'd let them.
You know who else looks like she wants to fuck Kathleen so bad? Rachel.
Yes! The insane sexual chemistry that Kathleen has with every single person on this show, except for her husband.
They did something different with her hair this episode. Mm. I had sexual chemistry with Kathleen.
Honestly, you did. I was thinking that as she came on screen.
Yeah. So, okay, we come back from the theme. We're at the Ulysses S. Grant High School. Ben is chugging water at his locker. Alice and Henry come over. He is hungover. And they're like...
Did you have a moment of thinking the water was secretly vodka or something?
No, because this isn't the episode of Glee where they all get drunk at school.
I don't recall that, but carry on.
The episode where they sing Blame It on the Alcohol.
That was a fun episode.
Yeah. Where Rachel goes, it tastes like pink. It tastes like pink. Anyway.
I don't think I can do this anymore.
Like, because I mentioned Glee again after like a year of not mentioning it.
Yeah, I thought we'd move past this, and just like to see you backside like this is really hard for me.
They did just put it on Hulu. I've been considering, you know.
It's also on Disney Plus.
What?
That feels like it should be illegal, right?
That does not feel right. I feel like there's probably some, like, edited scenes.
Like, the whole show?
Yeah.
That show starts with Will Schuster blackmailing Finn Hudson by planting drugs in his locker.
Right.
I just rediscovered that.
Yes.
How was that allowed to be a hit?
It's a good question.
Ow.
Okay. So we're at the high school. Alice and Henry come up and they're like, oh, we saw a picture of you, whatever. And Ben is like, listen, can I stay with you? My dad kicked me out. I said some stuff to Adrian I shouldn't have said, but like, oh, well, I'm not really sorry about it because at least it's out there now. I'm a free man.
I hate him.
And they're like, no, you probably can't stay with us. Grace comes up and she asks to talk to Ben. I actually meant to find this dialogue. Let me see if I can find a script really quick. Don't go in there. Script. Secret Life of the American. Wait, my teenager. Oh my god, thank god.
Is it transcripts that forever dreaming?
No, it's TV show transcripts.arbor.org. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to share my screen. Can I do that on here?
I would love it if you would.
Okay. Okay, can you see it?
No.
Can you really not see it?
I really cannot see it.
Well, what the fuck? What about now?
No. Can you do both parts?
No. I mean, I could. Do you want me to?
I would love that. All I would right. like to see your acting chops flexed a little.
Okay. Grace wants to talk with Ben. Hey, can I talk to you?
This is already so good. Can I give you one note?
Yes, please.
Maybe don't fucking laugh in the middle of it, okay?
Your screen is frozen right now, which is really adding to your emotionality.
Hey, is that better?
No, you're still frozen.
Well, then I think that might be a you problem.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay, so I'm going to start. Hey, can I talk to you alone?
Did you, talk to Adrian?
Yeah, I talked to her yesterday afternoon when we were taking everything out of the nursery.
It's okay, Grace.
What's okay?
I know that you didn't know that I didn't know about the nursery.
What?
I didn't know that you and Amy helped Adrian take everything out of the nursery. Adrian didn't tell me I didn't know. That's not what you wanted?
No, that's not what I wanted.
Oh, and Adrian probably told you about all the horrible things I said.
What horrible things?
It's starting to turn into like Minnie Mouse. I'll let Adrian tell you then, but hopefully she won't. Wait, I'll let Adrian tell you then, but hopefully she won't. Have you talked to Adrian in the past hour?
No, why?
I moved out.
When?
Are you enjoying this?
I'm loving it. I don't know if you could see. If you look right here. Loving it.
Look right where?
Could you not? Are you not seeing my reactions that I'm posting up every 30 seconds?
No.
That really sucks. That's okay. Heartbreaking, honestly.
When?
In the past hour, yeah. I slept over at my dad's house last night, and I went over to the condo this morning and got some of my stuff. And she can have anything else that's left there. I don't want any of that stuff.
What?
I'm really sorry about the nursery.
Okay, that's it.
That really did become Minnie Mouse in a way that was so powerful.
Truly. Yeah. Okay.
Gossip must have slowed down. Like, it used to be you couldn't, like, wipe your ass before the whole school knew.
I know. Okay, so... Then Jack and Lauren have a conversation. He's like, how's Madison? How's her heart? And Lauren is like... Shut the fuck up. She and I were expecting you to break up with her. And he's like, I only broke up with her because I was sick of her paranoia.
She literally told Grace yesterday or last episode that he loved her, but whatever.
I know. He's like, she thinks I'm in love with Grace. And it's like, buddy.
You are.
Grace comes up. She spills the news about Ben and Adrian. Lauren is like, oh no, the rule of threes. Ben and Adrian are breaking up. Jack and Madison are breaking up. Someone's gonna die.
Two things. That's usually celebrity deaths, right?
Right. And, you know, me in bed.
What's up?
The rule of threes, me in bed.
Now, what do you mean by that? I genuinely do not know.
I always be having those threesomes.
Oh, I thought you meant you were getting like a triple O each time.
That too.
Honestly, good for you. I've only had 3 triple O's in my life.
They were all
by my own hand. What's up?
So you faked it with me?
Oh, for sure. Also, that was a quadruple, so like, don't get it twisted.
So, Lauren goes away, and Jack is like, why were you giving me fuck me eyes? Like, are you and Daniel exclusive? And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
This is where he was proposing, like, do they need a third?
Right. Then Grant comes up, and he's like, Grace, can I get your advice? Should I go out with Heidi Richmond? And Grace is like, she's a slut. And he's like, you hate that word. And she's like, well, yeah, but that's what she is. And if you go out with her after going out with me, people will think that I'm a slut.
Sure.
Yeah. We go to Lauren and Amy. Lauren then spills the news about Ben and Adrian. This is the point in the show where I thought Amy was wearing a horse shirt. And I was so delighted. Only to later find out she's wearing a horse dress, which made me even more delighted.
Yes. I immediately clocked the horses and I'm like, this tracks.
Yeah.
Amy's upset about Ben and Adrian. She says they'll work it out. And she's like, he was kind of weird last night, whatever. Lauren says Madison broke up with Jack. And she says, finally. Then we have an interaction between Ben and Ricky in the hallway. Ricky is real pissed at Ben. And he's like, you had to screw everything up. And he's like, you should be with Adrian because it's the right thing to do. And Ben says, well, we're always doing something stupid, huh? But now we'll never do anything stupid again. And then Adrian walks in and she smiles at everyone.
And Ben really is hot.
She looks so hot.
We have to say it. She's an absolute smoke show. Good for her.
Can I say something?
I would love it.
If the doctor just told me that I only need to go for a single walk and listen to the first verse of Rolling in the Deep to become skinny, I would have done it almost immediately.
And you know the doctor would have said it.
Right. Yeah. So, no.
I haven't been told by a doctor I need to lose weight in so long, and I really miss that.
Well, last week when I logged on to my fucking psychiatry appointment, my psychiatrist goes, oh, you look like you've lost some weight. And I was like, this is probably the most inappropriate place for you to bring that up. Because it wasn't followed up with, like, anything about medications. It was just, like, nice.
Yeah, I will say the best I've ever felt in a doctor's office was doing, like, an insurance thing that I had to do. I have to do every year to, like, get money off of insurance or something. And the lady was like, oh, it looks like you've lost a lot of weight. Was that, like, planned or no? And, like, are you okay? And, like, it wasn't instantly, like, praised as this wonderful thing. And I was like, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
That really made me feel good.
Are you okay, though? Okay.
Yes.
So, Ben walks up to Adrian. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? She kisses him. And he's like, I'm leaving you. And she's like, ha ha ha, bitch. I'm not letting you go. We're married. And then she walks through the hallway and she says hi to everyone. And then she's like, hi, Ricky. So, Rachel. Okay, then we go to Rachel and Tom. She has to leave to go to some orientation. And she's like, please be patient with the kids. Rachel walks into the kitchen to see Kathleen and Kat. They're like, you know, conspiring because they're like, Tom doesn't really, you know, like the kids. Kathleen's going to help with the kids. And Kat, this is where I mark down Kathleen's hair makes her look so hot.
Yes.
Then we go to Leo's office. Nora comes up in this fucking sexy ass black dress.
Oh my God. Her work attire?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. So, they're like, Nora says, you know, get out of here. You look bad sitting in my chair. And then she takes a closer look at him and says, you look bad no matter where you're sitting. And Leo likes it when a woman says good morning to him in the morning before she, you know, addresses him.
That's really important, actually, like, for a woman to know her place.
Right. Then, you know, they're kind of testing this out to see if they can work together. She asks if this pays more than the butcher shop, and he says, probably, but you don't have the job yet. So I guess she's just getting her butcher shop rate for doing, like, considerably, like, different labor. I'm not going to say more work, because, let's be real, it's probably not more work, but
it's probably substantially less work, honestly.
Right. But it's different, and it's a job that would, like, historically pay more money. Anyway, whatever. Then Ben calls. Nora picks up the phone. She immediately hands it to Leo, and he says, I'm at school. You wouldn't believe it, but this bitch Adrian is here, and I moved out this morning. And Leo's like, well, where are you going to go? Huh? Are you going to be, like, houseless? Like, what the fuck's going to happen here? And he says that he needs to live with his wife until he can afford otherwise, because Leo owns his car. His name is on Ben's bank account. You know, his name is on all of Ben's credit cards. He will cut him off.
Good. He should do it. He should have done it long ago.
Yeah. So then they hang up, and Leo is, like, mad at Nora because the last episode she told Ben that, like, Leo's a pussycat and he can just, like, go along with whatever Leo is saying and then do whatever he wants. Which Ben didn't even have the decency to do that. Like, just fake it, bro. It's not that hard. And then Ben ended up drunk in a park, And she's like, oh, well, I, you know, I'm in AA, so, like, I'm against drinking. Which is probably not the most important part there. It's more of, like, how she undermined her boss.
I don't remember that happening.
To her... I remember that happening. Nora was on the phone with Ben, because Ben is like, I don't want to go to dinner with my dad, because he's going to tell me to stay with Adrian. And Nora's like, well, just go to dinner with your dad, and, like... you know, be, like, pleasant to your dad, and then just do whatever you want after.
Okay, so I wouldn't say she's as at fault as Leo thinks she is.
Right.
Because she doesn't say, go scream at your grieving wife and tell her she's a selfish bitch and then leave.
Right. So, then... she's like, I'm in AA. And he's like, should I know that? Isn't it Alcoholics Anonymous? And she's like, well, I wear my chip. And she, like, pulls this necklace out with the biggest AA chip I've literally ever seen. Made of pure gold.
I've never seen one before. Because I respect the anonymity.
The anonymity?
Anonymity.
Mm. So then we go... in anemone. To Caitlin O'Malley's office. She's meeting with Adrian. Adrian is just spouting lies about Ben. She's like, you know, I was going to go to cosmetology school, but Ben, like, wouldn't let me. Like, he really, like, respects me enough to be like, you need to follow, like, what you originally wanted to do. Caitlin tells Adrian that she looks great. And Adrian's like, well, I still have a few more pounds to lose, but, you know, I was depressed. And so depressed people are always fat and they eat too much food.
Yeah.
And then I started walking. And you know who walks with me sometimes? Ben. But I like walking alone, too. You know, I'm so blessed to be married to him.
Sickening. All I can say is I really do feel like she has the biggest revenge planned for Ben, and I hope it hurts him.
Yeah. Then, Caitlin is like, you know, there's a picture of Ben drunk, like, floating around. And Adrian is like, oh my god, no. Here's what happened. He ate ceviche, and he had a bad reaction.
That's really smart. Of all the seafood to say, ceviche makes the most sense.
We're supposed to believe that Jeff's serves ceviche.
And you know what? If they do, it makes sense that it would be like this. Do you know anything about ceviche?
No.
It's shrimp cooked in the acid of lemon juice, basically.
Huh.
So it's very easy to get food poisoning from, because if you fuck it up, you're eating raw shrimp, basically.
Huh. Well, and then Adrian just continues the lies. She's like, yeah, I was gonna meet Leo and Ben at the hospital, but, you know, I can't go near one right now. Caitlin and Adrian talk about business. They talk about when Adrian can graduate. She really does not want to go to summer school, but we find out there's only 6 weeks left of school.
Sure.
Which... how does that make any sense?
Why not?
And then Caitlin is like, I hope you're really proud of yourself. And Adrian says out loud that she's stronger than anyone she knows. Crazier too.
I say that about myself all the time. It's really empowering to see my experience on screen like that.
So we go to commercial break. We come back. We're in the guidance office again. Ricky has walked in on Adrian waiting there. And she's like, did you get my message? And he's like, I deleted it. I don't want any messages from you. We can't be friends. But then he, like, tells Adrian all about his plans for the future and how he, like, wants to go to college close by so that way he can, like, live with Amy and John. And, like, he has to go to this, you know, meeting right now, whatever. So he's looking for Caitlin because he needs to know who he is going to have this interview with. And he finds out that the interview is with none other than Carly Carmichael.
Who, if we remember,
is Toby's stepsister, the person that George thought it was appropriate to hit on.
And the person who thought it was appropriate to sleep with Ricky, the minor.
Right. So Ricky is very clearly uncomfortable. He like kind of has tears in his eyes because he's like, this is going to be fucked up. And she says, is everything okay? And he says, I don't know. And he just kind of like walks away. What would you do?
If your son was at home? I'm sorry. In Ricky's situation?
Yeah.
If you had fucked this recruitment agent and you knew what was going to happen next? Personally, what I would do, I would probably tell Caitlin O'Malley right away that this was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
What would you do?
You know, I am a petty bitch. So I think I would be going to this interview, but I would be like, I'm not comfortable with the door being closed. I'd also be wearing a recording device. You know, I'd ask for like maybe a third party to be there.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd be like, this, I'm gonna get fucked over.
I also don't think you can give interviews to people you know in a position like that. Can you?
I think you can.
Oh, okay.
I think technically you can. So, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a sinking feeling the second this started going on.
Yeah. So, we go to the Bowman kitchen. Reverend Stone and Kathleen are, like, eating together. She baked him a whole ass cake. And she says this thing where she's like, I really like having Jack here, you know, especially with my husband away.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, that didn't sound right. But
the only reason it doesn't sound right is because you're thinking it, Kathleen.
Yeah.
You just admitted to this reverend that you're fucking his son.
Yeah. And then they talk about Rachel and Tom and Bonnie and Ronnie. And they, Reverend Stone is like, do you think this will last? And she's like, nah. We find out that Reverend Stone is indeed moving back to whatever town they live in.
Ulysses S. Grant, I believe.
But he's moving back this summer. And he hopes, you know, Grace and Jack come back to church. And then he changes the subject and he's like, I hear Grace's new beau is a college fella. Yes.
This show is allergic to proper nouns, it seems, when it comes to places' names. We don't know what town this is. We don't know any of the colleges that they talk about.
Right.
We don't know any. They never give a place. Have you noticed this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's just, I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
They can't be burdened by details.
Well, just like when Ricky's like, oh, I have an interview at the local college today. It's like, could we have, like, maybe picked a name?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Harvard University?
Yes. Local college. Sarah Lawrence.
So then we go, okay, we go back to Ulysses S. Grant High School. Lauren and Amy are talking again. This is when I realized it was a horse dress, and I was even more delighted.
Yes.
Amy starts, so Amy hears the news that Adrian's back at school. And she's like, of course she is. She would do anything out of anger. She's a horrible person. Adrian is right behind her.
I don't understand this anger from Amy. Is it just so that the writers can have more conflict?
I think so.
So stupid. I hate it.
I think Amy is, like, feeling a little bit of feelings about Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. But
probably.
Lauren is, like, big, wide smile to Adrian. She's like, hi, welcome back. So then Amy and Adrian have this conversation. Amy is very genuinely sorry. She apologizes like 3 times over the course of this conversation. And Adrian is like, whatever, bitch. And Adrian's like, just so you know, I'm not angry at anyone, probably except for God.
Okay, and then, iconic.
Yeah.
Can you say icon?
And then Adrian changes the subject and she's like, guess who I ran into? Ricky. He's interviewing at a college where I've been accepted.
Again, which college, Adrian? Which college?
Right. And then she's like talking to Amy and she's basically like, Ben really didn't want me to go to cosmetology school. And Amy's like, well, that seems like a good decision for you. I'm happy.
What is Adrian playing at also trying to get back in Ricky's pants?
I think she just wants to get pregnant.
Oh. Why doesn't she just call up Joe Hampton?
You're not wrong.
That man has powerful seed, I can tell.
So then we go to this, like, college where Ricky is interviewing. This scene is basically the beginning of a porn.
Yes, but, like,
horrible vibes.
Yeah, it made me ill. I felt ill.
I also felt ill. So he's in a suit. I have to say he does look good.
Oh, he looks fantastic. And I hate to say it, she looks hot.
So he comes in and he like is like, I really need to get into the school, like it's close so I can live with Amy and John, and like, you know, like I want to major in business. And she's like, oh, Ricky, this is not a real interview, this is sexual harassment, it's the only way that I could like find out to meet with you alone. What is with this woman being obsessed with the dick of an 18-year-old man?
She should be in prison.
She should. And he's like, I really need to get into school, but like, I'm not going to have sex with you. And she's like, okay. And he's like, I literally can't. And she's like, well, you can if you want to get into school here. Disgusting.
Horrifying. Are there no security cameras in her office?
Probably not in her office.
Methinks there should be.
Yeah.
I think she should be on several lists. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So then we go to Tom's office. He calls Tammy in to see him, and she is trying to seduce him. She's wearing a black dress.
With the tights underneath.
And she's got
the breath of a last cigarette on her teeth.
But he's like, were you wearing that earlier? And she's like, no, but I can take it off if you want. Like, there's like some, like, she's trying to seduce Tom because she's bored in her marriage, I guess. And he's like, I'm gonna send you to a seminar on sexual harassment. And she does say the funny line where she says, I thought I was doing a good job at that.
Very good. I hate to say, Tammy, also an icon.
And Tom says, it's against the law. All right.
What was the point of that scene? Do we know?
I don't know. I think Tom is like really... Tom is maybe realizing he's for the child-free life.
Yeah.
And so maybe Tammy is becoming a viable option.
Okay.
Again, because she's bored in her marriage.
Good for Tammy. I knew... Look... Tammy's always given off, like, head bitch in charge vibes, and I knew she would not be satisfied with that little cuck that she married.
Yeah.
She needs a strong, virile alpha male like Tom.
So, we go to the Ulysses S. Grant High School. Jack and Grace are having a conversation. He's like, hey, I need to talk to you right now. And she's like, we can talk at home. And he's like, no, listen. Your mom knows about Daniel. My dad spilled the beans.
Why'd you spill your beans?
Yeah, and then they're like, are Ben and Adrian together? And Jack is like, I talked to Adrian, and yeah, they are. And Ben and Grace is like, well, I talked to Ben, and no, they're not. Grace has kind of like come to the conclusion that Adrian is avoiding her. So then she runs into her in the hallway and Grace is like, I'm so happy you're back. And Adrian is like, wish I could say the same, but I'm literally only here so that way Ben will, you know, fuck me and I can get pregnant again. And Grace is like, well, I know he left this morning. And Adrian is like, he'll be back. And also, it's none of your business if I have another baby. And Grace is like, well, why the fuck did you tell me then?
Why did she...
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
So then we go to Caitlin O'Malley's office. She gets a call from Carly Carmichael. Ricky did not get in to the college. Ugh. She says he's not the type of student that we want. This is giving me major Ezra Fitz, Aria Montgomery vibes from Pretty Little Liars when he's working at the community college. I'm just like, oh my gosh,
yes.
Have you watched that show?
I watched all of it. Are you kidding?
Really?
Yeah, I've been waiting for someone to talk to about it. I watched it like years ago.
I watched it all like 2 years ago.
Really?
I watched it growing up, but then I watched it all.
Yeah, I watched it as it aired, and then I had a rewatch, like, probably 6 months ago. But, like, I couldn't find anyone in my life who'd seen it, so, like, I've just been kind of sitting on this knowledge.
Are you being, like, 100% serious?
I'm gaslighting you right now.
Oh. I was like, we've definitely talked about Pretty Little Liars before, and you've definitely been, like, not... You don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I saw the first. I saw the pilot when it first came out, and that's all I saw.
Okay. Thank you for telling me that you were gaslighting me.
And I was, because I was 2 seconds away from trying to convince you that we'd never spoken about it. And that you I was worried about you.
So, all right. We're in the hallway. Ben is walking. He's walking by all these people who are talking about him. This guy is like, good job dumping Adrian, you know.
Fuck, oh, heard bitches, you got the right? Broad. You're free of the broad.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it something about, like, you ditched the broad?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they went to school in 1973.
Yeah. They have the, like, Atlantic accent.
Hey, you ditched the broad, eh?
So, Adrian starts a fight, basically, with this girl who said that, like, they lost the baby because he drinks.
Which, I don't think, that's wrong for so many reasons.
Yeah.
Horribly cruel, but also, like, what the father does doesn't really make too much of a difference in the pregnancy process after their part's done.
Yeah. But she, like, beats this girl's ass with words, and then she looks at Ben, and she's like, what are you gonna do? People talk.
I'm glad that Adrian's back in kind of a villain arc, but, like, a totally justified villain arc.
Yeah.
I just want her to ruin Ben's life.
Yeah. So, Ben apologizes. Ben apologizes for what he said the night before. And she's like, well, honestly, it made me really angry, but, like, everything you said was true. And Ben is like, well, I'm to blame, too. Like, it wasn't just, like, I'm equally, you know, like, I accept responsibility for my actions. But I still want out. And she's like, all right, you're out. Like, you packed. Like, I do have to say it would be nice if you, like, came back until I was out of high school. But, you like, you don't have to do that. Whatever. She starts crying. Like, she turns, you know that Phoebe Bridgers line, crocodile tears run the tap till it's clear?
No, actually. What's that from?
Savior Complex.
I don't remember that line.
Emotional affair.
Emotional affair.
Hopelessly sincere. Smoking in the car.
Car.
Windows down. Crocodile tear. Rock. tears.
I always thought it was Crocodile Rock.
Run the tap till it's clear.
I thought she was referencing the hit Elton John single, Crocodile Rock.
Rock does not rhyme with clear.
Neither does oh, shit. I think that's one of those things where, like, as a joke, I said Crocodile Rock, and now it's all I think about. So it's never occurred to me that Crocodile Tears was in that song. All Crocodile Rock, we used to be a proper nation. That was a song.
So, anyway. She starts crying and she's like, I hope we can at least be friends. I need you to be my friends. Like, I need you to be my friend. We started as friends. Like, I don't know if I can always be as strong as I was today. She's like emotionally manipulating out the wazoo.
And it's so powerful to see. I'm happy for her.
And she's like, do you think you could just hold my hand today as we leave?
Ow. Sorry, Linus is attacking me as we speak.
That's okay. Jesus Christ. Well,
tell him to knock it off.
Get Linus. Off of
me, you little fucker. He will not stop. Okay, we're good.
Good.
Are we good? He won't meet my eyes because he knows he lost the encounter.
But she's like, do you think you could just, like, hold my hand as we walk out today like you did for Amy on her first day back? Like, it would mean a lot to me. And he's like, yeah, okay. So they leave holding hands. We go to the guest house. Bonnie and Ronnie are on the phone with their mom. They say goodnight. So then Tom and Rachel talk a little bit. And he's like, you know, we had some hamburgers. It was a good night. It was a lot of work, but whatever. He is wearing the epitome of a dad outfit. He's wearing, like, a striped polo with jeans. He's got some white sneakers on, I can tell.
Okay, I literally wore that today.
To work? Oh, you didn't work today.
No, just in my free time. So, like, that's actually really hurtful that you would say something like that.
Why? You have hot dad energy.
Okay, you just made it up for me.
So, they say goodnight, whatever. Okay, so, Rachel's at this bar. And who comes up to her but Milton, Tom's literal boss.
I forgot about him.
Yeah. And they recognize each other. And then he's like, just so you know, sitting at this bar alone, you definitely look like a prostitute.
What the hell?
And then he's like, let's have dinner. I'm buying the dinner, not you.
Good God.
Yeah. Okay, so then we go to this part that I think is actually really funny in this completely fucked up episode where we're at the Bowman house.
Yes.
Daniel rings the doorbell. Kathleen answers it. And we find out Grace is on restriction. They can't just say she's fucking grounded. They have to say that she's on restriction. And Kathleen's like, well, she didn't tell me she was dating a college guy. And he's like, I'm 18. Like, would you rather her date a high school dropout or, like, fucking Jack?
True. Honestly, I hate to say, he's got a point.
Yeah. And Kathleen's like, well, this is about trusting Grace. And Daniel's like, well, just so you know, I told her to tell you, but I'm only here because, like, she wanted me to stop by to meet you. And she's like, well, I think you should get to know people a little bit more before you sleep with them. And he's like, yeah, maybe I should get to know their family. Kathleen's like, do you want to come inside? But during this interaction, we see Grace sneak with her shoes out behind Kathleen.
Oh my God.
And Daniel immediately is like, just so you know, while we were talking, Grace snuck, like, behind you, I'm assuming, out the back door, and now she's, like, going out to my car. And Kathleen's like, oh, was that your plan? And Daniel's like, nope, but, you know, like, whatever. Let's leave her there. Make me a hamburger. Let's fuck on your kitchen counter.
Honestly, the sexual chemistry you could cut with a butter knife.
Yeah, it is so tangible.
It's so thick. You could slice that up and serve it with toast.
Mm-hmm. So then Grace calls Jack, and they're, like, talking, and Jack's like, well, I think she's making him dinner. And Grace is like, what? And Jack's like, she's making him dinner! That will always get me.
Yeah.
And Grace is like, well, go down and tell Daniel quietly that I'm, like, waiting for him in his car. And Jack's like, okay. And then he hangs up the phone, and then he's like, I'm not doing that.
That was sick as hell. This scene was a brief moment of respite from the absolute shit show that happened before, during, and after it.
Yeah, so we're about to, you know, enter the shit storm. We're at John's apartment.
John is the real winner there.
We're at Ricky's apartment. Him and Amy are like, you know, they've opened the sofa bed. She's like, wink, 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 should we christen it? And he's like, we have so much time to do that. Let's just go to bed. And she's like, did the interview not go well? You've been in a bad mood. And he's like, no, it didn't go well. I don't want to talk about it. Caitlin O'Malley calls Ricky's cell phone. They're going to bed. So, like, realistically, it's probably around, like, 10 or 11 p.m.
Probably.
So why is a guidance counselor calling a student? Whatever.
And why is she saying, Ricky, it's Caitlin, instead of, it's Mrs. O'Malley or Ms. O'Malley, yeah, the guidance counselor?
Who knows? So she's like, I have bad news. The college is not going to accept you. Did you, like, do anything to, like, flirt with Carly? And Ricky is like, no, why? And Caitlin is like, well, she did say that, like, you tried to have sex with her. And he's like, great. And she's like, well, are you going to deny it? And he's like, literally, what's the use? Like, you're not going to believe me.
This is a really hard scene to watch.
Yeah. So then we go to like, so he throws his phone. Amy comes in with John and she's like, what's going on? And he's like, I need to leave. And she's like, what happened? And he's like, I am leaving. And she's like, don't shut me out. What happened? And he says, I can't. And he leaves. The acting in this scene must have been after a really long day. It was very bad.
I can't.
So then we go to the condo. Ben is in the bedroom talking to Adrian and Ben, and he's like, I would like to be friends again, and I want to part friends when the time is right. Like, maybe we can wait until the end of summer. And then he's like, I'm gonna make a bedroom in the nursery, and I'm gonna sleep on the couch tonight. Like, whatever. And Adrian's like, well, you can sleep in the bed. Like, I promise I won't touch you tonight. Whatever. And he's like, no, I'm going to sleep on the couch. She lets some tears run. And she's like, thank you so much. And he's like, yeah, good night. He leaves. She gets this insane smile on her face. Insane as in, like, the cliche, what they do in, like, movies.
Yes.
And as she wipes away her tears, like, her plan is, like, coming into, I don't know. Oh, she's figuring it out. Anyway, that's the episode.
Horrible. Horrifying. Yeah. Hated it.
Yeah. The, like, real issues that I feel like are not going to be explored. I'm just not looking forward to seeing, like, what happens between Carly and Ricky.
No. I think he's gonna kill her.
Well, then I'd be a little bit excited to see that, but...
Wow, so you believe in killing women?
No, I'm just saying it would be entertaining TV.
You're so right.
I know.
And, you know, I've always said that everything that I enjoy on TV is a direct endorsement of it from me personally.
Mm, yeah.
If I like watching it on TV, I think it's moral and good.
Yeah, makes sense. Anyway, my name's Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
This has been Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. You can follow us on Instagram, Patreon, Twitter, and TikTok at Your Two Gay Friends. You can follow Jesse on Twitter at GoJesse2K20. You can follow my bookstagram at No Money, No Prospects. You can send us an email at slwithjesseandaaron@gmail.com. You can send us a voice message on Anchor. You can leave us a rating and review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts and Spotify. All of this is like linked in the description. Anyway, I hope you have a good day, and I hope that, you know, when you ask how much your job is paying, your boss replies that you don't have it yet. So technically you're doing all this work for free.
Yeah. And I hope that, fuck, I don't even know anymore. What's the use of hoping in a world like this?
Yeah.
Ugh. I hope you find some peace in the coming days.
Yeah. May we all. All right, goodbye.
Bye!
Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's a theologian, but it is like a lot more like you think about morality because he was a theologian. He was leading a church and he had a plot to kill Hitler during World War II. And it's like, what, like, would that have been morally okay for him to kill Hitler? I mean, in my personal opinion, yeah. You know, lessons to be learned. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, but halfway through that sentence, I just got, like, fixated on how I missed my chance to say Bonhoeffer, I barely know her. But morality is really interesting. What's up?
I think a lot of famous theologians were homosexuals, and you can quote me on that.
Yeah, you don't think that much unless you're not getting pussy.
Well... Okay.